Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of John. The book of John. The gospel. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Our Father, how wonderful it is to be able to call upon you and to know that in all things, Lord, you've been so merciful to us. You've given us hope and peace and comfort. We thank you for another day that we can come together and just sit and listen and hear the Word of God. We pray that you would bless it. Lord, bless it to our understanding. Cause us to hear. Cause us to understand. Cause us to rejoice. Lord, if this is nothing more than just a time to take up an amount of a couple of hours, Lord, we've just met for no reason. But oh, if you bless this word to our heart, and our heart rejoices and burns as the heart of those two on the road to Emmaus. Lord, teach us for Christ's sake. Amen. The last time we looked in this blessed book, we looked at verse 14. The Word was made flesh. God, the Word. God, the Son, God, the Word, God, joined Himself to human nature. He who is deity, Almighty God, took to Himself true human body, a human body, and a reasonable soul. Now, when I say a reasonable soul, this is what I mean. Nothing beyond what we possess, except He had no sin. A body, a soul. All the glory, the fullness of the Godhead. All that God Almighty is, the fullness of the Godhead. I mean, when you stop and think, everything that can be said, everything that is set forth, all the being, all the everything, all that God Almighty is, joined Himself to flesh. He relinquished nothing of His deity. But joining Himself to flesh, He now, not wasn't half God, half man. He was God Almighty, the man. The God-man, He said. He now is that which is one person. I mean, we speak of, and the Word was made flesh, as if we understand that. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. He's one person. He's one person. God-man. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He tabernacled, pitched His tent. John said, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. John said, we saw Him. We saw Him experience frailty and fatigue. I saw him, John said, I saw him get hungry. I saw him get thirsty. I saw him bleed. I saw nails. I saw him put nails through his hands, through his feet. I saw a Roman soldier pierce his side. He bled. Water and blood came forth. Saw him. But I saw him transfigured. I was with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I was looking at him. And his face radiated. Brighter than the noonday sun. His clothes just glowed. I saw him heal the sick, raise the dead. We were with him. We had talked about going with him, you know, since he was going to go on to Jerusalem. He said, well, let's just go with him so we can die with him. And we came to the tomb of Lazarus. And he said, remove the stone. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he said, Lazarus came walking out of that grave. He was dead. He was dead. Been dead 4 days. And he got up and he walked out. We beheld his glory. Full of grace and truth. All of the grace of God, the fullness of the grace of God, all that God Almighty would do in graciousness, that's Him. He's the full of grace, full of truth. No man speaks as this man. The truth of God. This is what God demands. This is what God's provided. There's the truth right there. What's it going to take? There he is. Let's look at verse 15 to 18 this morning. John, bear witness of him. That was John's calling of obedience. John, bear witness of him. And that's the ministry of every preacher that Almighty God has called. That is the preacher's calling. God calls a man to preach. That preacher is not a social worker. He's not a politician. Preachers are called to bear witness of Christ. That's their job. That's their calling. That's their duty. That's their life. That's their love. That's what they do. They're witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, Romans 1, 1 to 4, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. John bear witness of him. That's what he did. That's all he did. That's what he was called to do. That's all he could do. That's all he had a heart to do. What do? I'm a witness of Jesus Christ. That's what God's called me to do. The Scripture said, he cried, saying, was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. John was 6 months older, humanly speaking, than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born to his mother by his mother, Elizabeth, 6 months before the Lord Jesus Christ came forth from the womb of a virgin. So John, humanly speaking, 6 months older. That's why he says, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me. Humanly speaking, he came, the Lord Jesus Christ came after John. But John rightly declared, he was born after me in this world, but he's been before me because he's eternally existed. He has preeminence. He's preferred before me. And of his fullness, verse 16, have all we received, and grace for grace. Of his fullness have all we. Who are the we there? Well, just look back at verse 12. But as many as received him. That's who the we are. As many as received him. Those that were born, verse 13, not of blood, not of heritage, not of the blood of bulls and goats, not of circumcision, not of natural generation. Those that received him, they weren't born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's who the we are. Of his fullness have all we received. He's the abundance. All deity, all glory, all sufficiency. And of his fullness, all that God Almighty is, of his fullness, he's the fullness of the Godhead. And of his fullness, what is he? God. He's God. I mean, where else do you go? Where else do you explain from that? Here he is, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Mediator, our Advocate, our High Priest. All that God Almighty has purposed eternally to do, to give, to bestow, to show of his fullness. Have all we received. He's life. He is life. We receive life. Peace. Peace with God. Can you imagine? Not at war with Almighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. The fullness. Joy. His Word. All that we have for now. Eternity. The fullness. Of his fullness have all we received. And grace for grace. Grace upon grace. Abundant grace. Favor upon favor. Mercy upon mercy. Just we're just abounding and abounding and abounding. I mean, you just, where do you end in the grace for grace? What has he done for me? What has he not done for me? My heart is comforted. My soul is settled. My joy is full. I'm at peace with God. I don't understand it. I believe it. I can't perceive the depth of it. grace for grace, grace upon grace. Well, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law, that which God righteously demanded of man. This is, the law is the expression of God's character. The law is expression of God's heart, His demand, right, holiness, justice, good. The law that demands obedience, and it's inflexible in its claims and never remits any of its penalty. The law, it's right. But it could never show mercy. The law could never show mercy. A soul that sinneth is going to die. That law that testified to God's righteousness by the law is the knowledge of sin. That law was given by Moses, given through Moses. It wasn't Moses' law. It was given by Moses. God's law. There's the demand. Oh, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Moses said, this is what God demands. Oh, but the graciousness of God and the truth of God that came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Came into this world and all that was demanded of God's people, all that was demanded of all men, for those that God everlastingly loved. Here's God Almighty for them. The Lord Jesus Christ obeying for them. And it's God Almighty watching over. God knows who are His. Almighty God knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was living for. I know my sheep. I live for my sheep. He is, as a man, obeyed perfectly God's law. As a man, true man, flesh, human nature. Absolutely, he knew the law of God. He loved the law of God. He obeyed the law of God. There's the grace of God. All that was demanded of me, all that was demanded of all of His people, there He established their righteousness, and their righteousness is Him. He is our righteousness, robed in Him, clothed in Him. And here's God Almighty doing that which He demands. And in Christ, we've obeyed God because God has imputed, charged to our account all that Christ has done. He fulfilled. When He died upon that cross, He was dying under the penalty of the law. Made sin for us. He who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He's lived for us. He died for us. Established the law. He was the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He obeyed God's law. There's our obedience. He died for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. And there, under the penalty of God's law, He satisfied it. Lived, died. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood. That's what He's saying is, he that believes what I did for my people, he that believes what I did in dying for my people, he that eats of me, eats of my flesh, drinks of my blood. Grace and truth He came and set forth. If you want to know what God Almighty demands, look at the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God demands. What does God demand for eternal life? Look at Him. That's what God demands. What does God demand for obedience? Look at Him. You want to know how obedient do you have to be? Look at Him. What does God demand? Look at the truth right there. There's the truth. That's Him. There's the grace of God. There's the truth of God. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man, verse 18, has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. No man, not Abraham, not Moses, not David, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in. He never left His place in the Godhead. It's an amazing thing. Never left that union with the Father and the Spirit. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared Him. He's told Him out. Unveiled Him. As I said before, you look at Him and you realize that He's the grace of God, He's the truth of God. You can't have one without the other. To reject one is to reject the other. Grace and truth. One would say, well, I possess the grace of God. God's been gracious to me. Do you possess the truth of God? The truth of Christ Himself, the gospel of God in Christ, free grace, sovereign grace, all of grace? That's truth. That's the truth. That's the believing on Him who is the truth. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, grace and truth. Someone say, I believe the truth of God. I believe in sovereign grace. I believe in 5 points of Calvinism. I believe in man's total depravity. I believe all of those doctrines. I believe the truth of God. But let me ask you this. Has His grace been evidenced in your heart? Do you possess a heart that will forsake all for Him? I believe the truth of God. Is the grace of God evident? Grace and truth. You can't have one without the other. Forsake one, you forsake the other. Someone says, well, I believe God's been merciful to me. I believe God's been gracious to me, but I don't believe that stuff of God's sovereignty. I don't believe that. That's the truth. That's the record of Him who hath believed our report. The report, the truth of Christ in the written word can't be separated from the truth of Him who is the eternal truth. This word bears witness of Him. You can't separate truth, written truth, from He who is the truth. That you can't do it. You just can't. Grace and truth. No man has seen the Father at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. May the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake and for our good. Amen. Let's take about a 10-minute break.